Should Democrats endorse Madison School Board member Mary Burke's candidacy for governor? Or search for someone else to challenge her in a Democratic primary? Does anyone else really have the ability to defeat Governor Scott Walker? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 16th. We will talk with political scientist Charles Franklin this hour, and we will welcome your thoughts and your questions about the differences in the Democratic Party as to whether Mary Burke is progressive enough. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and professor of law and public policy. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the reason we wanted to talk about this is that former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold's Political Action Committee, Progressives United, on its website asked progressives, should we endorse Mary Burke for governor or should we wait? And people can vote. But there's some tension in the Democratic Party over whether she should be the anointed one. Yes.
Yes, there has been. And it broadly pits the more progressive wing of the party versus the more centrist or establishment wing, if you will. I think, as you've seen, the party establishment pretty strongly supporting a Burke candidacy. Some who disagree or who say they're simply not familiar enough with her and don't like the idea that she should just be coronated as the candidate, have pushed back against this. I would stress that it's still a bit early in the process. We're still 13 months out. But State Senator Kathleen Vinehout has been widely talked about as a possible candidate. She has said publicly she's interested in running, but would make a decision in January. And as far as I know, she hasn't changed that timetable. And there is, I suppose, still some chance that other candidates might arise if a Burke campaign were to fall flat. But we're at a pretty early stage of this.
Right. But even though it is an early stage, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the state party chair, Mike Tate, has dubbed Burke the instant frontrunner in the race. He says, if there are critics on the left, they will come to see that Mary is the best shot. She is going to present a contrast with Scott Walker that is going to motivate progressives in our base. So it's believed that the Democratic Party is maybe not endorsing Mary Burke.
I think in that quote, you actually get both sides of the argument pretty nicely encapsulated. Chairman Tate is supporting her and saying she would be the instant front runner in that sense. But it also reflects why some progressives see that as an attempt by the party or the hierarchy of the party to pick someone outside of the primary process and outside of the democratic process, pun intended here, that might include a primary or at least might include some vigorous debate over who the candidate should be.
Yeah, the Democratic Governors Association is targeting gubernatorial races in various states, and it endorsed Mary Burke, which it doesn't always do, so it got into the act right away.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit of a surprise in that the Governors Association often does not involve itself in primary battles. And so that was perhaps, again, an example of the Democratic establishment having, if not made up its mind, at least cast its lot with a particular candidate at a time when not everyone in the party is comfortable with that decision and at the very least feels like the opportunities, the alternatives should bear some discussion, that Burke herself should prove herself as a candidate to Democratic primary voters, not simply launch a general election campaign fresh out of the gate. On the other hand, this is not a situation in which we have five or six clear, strong candidates who have announced their intentions or signaled their intentions. At this point, Burke and Vinehout are the two that have been most clear in saying that they're seriously considering, or in Burke's case now, entering the race.
And we'll talk, you know, maybe some more on qualifications of these candidates. But I guess the Progressives United, the PAC, was saying and asking its members to vote on the question, saying, you know, it's critical, I'm paraphrasing here, that we defeat Scott Walker. And should we just announce our endorsement now and let's, you know, get this show on the road and not allow this candidate to get beat up in a Democratic primary, perhaps?
I think in a sense this is the dilemma that every non-incumbent party faces when it's challenging a sitting incumbent. Is that dilemma of internal unity or internal division when the opponent is that incumbent that they're anxious to defeat? And this is an interminable debate, frankly, that whether primaries on the one hand season a new candidate, someone like Mary Burke with very little electoral experience, this argument goes, might benefit from a vigorously contested Democratic primary in which she would introduce herself to voters, she would learn the ropes of campaigning in the heat of battle, and either emerge as the nominee or lose to a more qualified, more successful primary candidate, and then go on entering the fall election in a stronger position. Some would argue that that actually happened with Scott Walker, who was challenged by Mark Newman in the gubernatorial primary, and would point to that also as the example of a primary doesn't have to impede the chances of winning in the fall. Others, though, look at the amount of money that can be spent on a primary, resources that might be directed against the incumbent governor, which instead would be spent on dividing Democrats. And that kind of friction was something that we saw in the recall primary in 2012 as well, where different parts of the party spent large amounts of money on the primary that then wasn't available during the recall general election.
Tim on Facebook says, if anyone voted against Romney because he was outrageously wealthy, they might struggle to support Burke. She seems like a flawed but decent candidate. If she's the nominee, I'll probably vote third party. Her money is considered a strength in this race, is it not?
From the perspective of simple practicalities of a campaign, her money is very important because she has said she would spend at least several million dollars in support of it. And that's an important signal to outside groups that are deciding whether to spend money in this race as well. If the outside groups, that is, have to spend from a base of zero, then their money doesn't go as far than if they are coming in on a base that's already supported by the candidate. So that's an argument for why, even if lots more money than just Mary Burke's is spent, hers is a signal that's important to outside groups. On the other hand, I think on this broader point of money, we have seen wealthy candidates run from both parties, Herb Cole for one, Ron Johnson for the other, opposite parties, both with money, and, of course, criticism of their wealth coming from the opposition party and strong support and justification for that wealth when it's your person who's running. So I think here, wealth may be an issue in and of itself to some voters, but wealth is also something seen as an asset when it's your candidate and seen as a potential liability when it's the other candidate.
Deanne on Facebook says, I've met Mary Burke. She has put her money where her mouth is, like helping the poor and minority students in Madison to receive a better education. She is the real deal, and Democrats need to stop pandering to the left and listen to moderates. Well, let's just leave it on that note for now as we are past break time, and then we will continue talking with Charles Franklin about the race for governor in Wisconsin and our big question, should Democrats now endorse Mary Burke, or should they take more of a wait-and-see approach in the race for governor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are in our fall membership drive. Your support is the foundation of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. We'll get back to Charles Franklin and our discussion on state politics in just a few minutes. But first, Cynthia Schuster joins us to help make the case for your gift in support of the programs that you count on. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 37 listeners and 20 new members. That is wonderful.
Great.
The goal this hour is 55 pledges by 8 o'clock. So these goals are set to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on. So help meet the goal with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We get such good guests on Wisconsin Public Radio because they know you'll ask great questions and they won't be interrupted by dozens of commercials either. Your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable part of our budget. So thanks in advance for making your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving is as easy as we can possibly make it. We just need your name, contact information, the amount you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
You can save time and money by using a credit card. Or better yet, you could start automatic, sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a great source of information about the nation, the world, and Wisconsin politics even. So you value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings to your life. You learn something new here every day, year after year.
This continuing education is possible only because of support from listeners like you. Like any education, you get out of it what you put into it. So invest in your education and the education of the community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Maybe you have been for a long time. Well, now it's time to become a community of members, people who loyally support the programs they value.
And your contribution of any amount makes you a member. If you've never given before, you might want to start with a pledge of, say, $5 a month. You make a pledge, your friend makes a pledge, your neighbor makes a pledge, all those pledges get added together, and that makes WPR happen. It starts with you right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to WPR because it's informative, it's up-to-date, it's current, it's intelligent, thoughtful, inclusive. I would encourage everybody listening to become a sustaining member of WPR because public radio is essential. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it seemed the easiest way to make a solid donation. It's kind of like saving up for Christmas presents. If you do a little bit over time, all of a sudden you look at it over a year and it's an okay amount to say, it's not a lot, but it's what I can do. I'm Jean from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Every pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, a pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day, and you pledge to support them with your contribution of any amount.
When you pay for the cost of this station, we'll make sure that there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Seize the moment. I know you're thinking about it. You're sitting there and you're trying to put it off. But no, now is the time to pledge. It takes just a few minutes to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's available at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, thanks to Abby and Carl from De Pere, they pledged and say, we listen to Wisconsin Public Radio hours every day. many hours, I guess. It's our main source of world, national, and state news, and it's a great source of weekend entertainment, too. Thank you. Thank you very much, Abby and Carl. Now, won't you join them and the many others who have pledged already at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks for your support. And thank you, Cynthia. We'll talk to you in our next half hour. Let's get back to our conversation about what should Democrats do about Mary Burke. We are talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. He is a professor of law and public policy. And we are talking about today's big question, whether or not Wisconsin Democrats should unite and support Madison School Board member Mary Burke's gubernatorial run now or wait until they know who else might get in the race. The name that's most frequently mentioned is State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, who says she's still weighing her options. She's trying to see if she has the support to do this and says she will make a decision by around the first of the year. But some are endorsing Mary Burke already in this race for the Democratic nomination for governor. Let's take another call from Mary in La Crosse. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. I heard Mary last Sunday morning, I believe it was, on television. Anyway, I would like to support Mary Burke, and I hope the Democratic Party can get together and not be divisive like we were in the past. And I'll tell you why I like Mary Burke. Number one, I liked her gentle presence, her gentle strength. But I like the fact, number one, she has college education. Number two, she's got good business experience. And it isn't her fault that there is money in the family. She said her father started the Trek bicycle business in his garage. And we certainly want people who have worked hard to get where they are. Number three, the fact that she's a school board member impresses me. As a former school board member myself, I learned so much about state government, and I believe education is so critical to the state of Wisconsin. And
Mary, thank you very much. You gave us a list of some of Mary Burke's qualifications, which I wanted to get into. One that's not on that list was she was Commerce Secretary, wasn't she, in the Doyle administration?
She was from 2005 to early 2008, I believe. And that will be an important part of the campaign, I believe, jobs being a centerpiece of both Democratic and Republican claims going into the election. So her time as Commerce Secretary will be something she, in her announcement video, pointed to as a background in this area. And her business background is another area in which jobs become a part of the theme.
So what's not to like from the progressive Democrats' point of view?
Well, first of all, I don't speak for any side in this. I think partly the complaints have been partly we don't know her enough. We don't like the coronation. We don't like the non-democratic process. Some were unhappy because she supported a charter school for African-American students in Madison, something that was aimed at addressing an achievement gap between white and black students in the city, and supported that with, I think, a $2.5 million contribution towards starting that charter school. And so that has been somewhat controversial. As a school board member, she has supported some increased tax rates along with virtually everyone else on the board, and in, I think, one case has been the lone holdout against a higher tax levy. And so there's some issue seen on the progressive, in particularly the education circles, of whether she's sufficiently supportive of public education.
Well, Charles Franklin, are also very involved in polling, co-founder of Pollster.com and PollsAndVotes.com. And you do the Marquette University Law School poll. Is Governor Walker, in our minute before news, is he vulnerable in this 2014 race?
I think almost all observers say that he comes in a strong position, but not as a prohibitive favorite. In our Marquette poll, he has consistently been around 50% plus or minus one. In May, we had him at 51% approval, but he fell to 48% in our July poll, and we have not polled since. The one other public poll that I'm aware of also put him at 48 approval, but 49 disapproval in September. So those are numbers that suggest someone who could be challenged. He's not at 60% approval, for example, the way Governor Christie in New Jersey is. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's what the race is made by the challenger, whoever that is. Can they find the themes that lead voters to question the incumbency of Governor Walker?
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back and we'll take more of your calls and comments on today's big question. Progressives United is asking people whether it should endorse Mary Burke for governor to give her a head start on next year's race. And we're talking about whether that's a good idea or not, and we'll continue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will get back to our big question discussion in just a few minutes. But first, I am joined by Cynthia Schuster, because this is the fall membership drive, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this one, topics on state politics that matter to you, including the 2014 race for governor. Listeners like you provide the single largest piece of the funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio, so give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for 41 pledges in the next 25 minutes. You can make your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and listeners bring a unique perspective to the conversation, too. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting a conversation with, yesterday on WPR I heard, or this morning, Charles Franklin said this. Do you believe it? It's time to take action, to participate in making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. You'll give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organization.
Your gift supports the programs, the issues that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking that tax dollars already go to support Wisconsin Public Radio, well, you're right. They do, and we thank you for that.
But contributions from individual listeners like you make the quality and the variety of programs that you're used to on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs that you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think the main thing for me that Wisconsin Public Radio is just this comforting thing, as well as the information in the news. It's something that I start with my day with and I end my day with, and I just find so much pleasure in listening to the stories that are told, and really appreciate the in-depth way that the news is told, that it's not just a headline. There's much more to it, and I really feel like I get an understanding of the issues of the day from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during this fall membership drive. Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster asking for your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It can be efficient to stock up on supplies for the future. You might not need a dozen rolls of paper towel this very minute, but we're often compelled to stock up on things we know we'll need over time. So imagine having an infinite supply of in-depth news and intelligent talk and Charles Franklin's wonderful perspective and context on politics today at your disposal whenever you want it.
A sustaining membership to Wisconsin Public Radio does just that. Your ongoing support is efficient, and extends the shelf life of all your favorite programs. So become a sustainer now with a monthly gift of $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You probably have a monthly subscription for your cell phone or maybe even Netflix, cable. We're asking you to support Wisconsin Public Radio just the same way you pay for other services that you use.
The difference here is that you decide the cost of your monthly subscription. Boy, that cell phone bill is pretty high. Support the programs that are a part of your day and choose the monthly amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
39 pledges to go on the last 20 minutes here. I know we can do it. You can pledge your support. Make a difference here at WPR. It makes all of these great programs possible. Be a part of making it happen at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Cynthia. And thank you if you've made a pledge. Thank you, Marla from La Crosse, who says, I wake up to Joy Cardine every morning knowing that I'm going to learn something before I even get out of bed that day. Well, good. I'm glad that you learned something this morning. And I hope that you will help pay for these programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Okay, let's get back to today's big question. Should Wisconsin Democrats, all of the Democrats, including progressive Democrats, rally around the only, as of now, announced gubernatorial candidate, Mary Burke? What do you think? You can let us know. Charles Franklin is our guest. He is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy. Our conversation prompted with Russ Feingold's PAC asking Democrats, should we endorse Mary Burke right now? Should we help her get a head start in this race against Governor Scott Walker? And it's letting Democrats vote on its website. A couple of our Facebook commenters, Charles Franklin, say Feingold for governor. Russ Feingold has said he's not going to run.
That's right. He spoke to the Democratic Party convention this past summer and said he would not be a candidate in 13 or 14 or 15, though he interestingly left out 2016. Certainly, Democrats have talked about him as a candidate for a long time, but you have to have the interest from the potential candidate, and he's pretty clearly ruled that out. I think part of the issue here is if you look, we closed the last half hour talking about Governor Walker standing in the polls. The one recent poll we have is from Public Policy Polling, a Democratic firm that came out with a poll in mid-September. And what was striking about that is that Governor Walker was at either 47 or 48% against each of four different Democrats. And that shows the strong stability of his support and the strength of the Democratic base. So Walker against Peter Barca was 47-43. It was 48-42 against Burke. It was 47-40 against Tom Nelson. It was 47-41 against Kathleen Vinehout. What you see there is any of these Democrats are getting in the low 40% range. Walker is holding at 47 or 48 against any of them. That shows you both that there's a strong Democratic base opposed to the governor, and that these four candidates are essentially interchangeable. People do not have well-formed opinions about them. And in fact, in this survey, over 60% said they didn't know enough to answer questions of favorable or unfavorable about the Democrats. That's totally normal 13 months out from an election against an incumbent governor. And I think it shows that at this stage of the process for most voters in the state, this is an undifferentiated field of potential Democrats. Among the strongest advocates and the activists that pay the most attention, that's where we're seeing this discussion within the Democratic Party about whether a primary would be helpful or harmful, and from the more establishment side, what the virtues are of a self-funded, strong candidate that would run without a primary.
We do have a number of our Facebook posters who are also saying, no, Kathleen Vinehout is the one. Kathleen Vinehout, she finished what, a distant third in the recall primary?
It was a very distant. I want to say she got 4% of the vote in the primary, but someone should check me on that. I'm not 100% certain of that. But she has been an attractive candidate to many on the left. We also have, I think, behind some of these arguments is where were you during the protests over Act 10? And that's an issue that even when it's not explicitly talked about, still burns in the minds of an awful lot of people who became so engaged, especially on the Democratic side here, over Act 10 and over the then subsequently the recall.
Yeah, the Mary Burke was asked about Act 10 and would she be in favor of repealing Act 10? And her answer, I guess, was not as strong as some progressives would have liked to have heard. She said that she thought collective bargaining was a right, but we also need to move forward or something like that.
That's right. And I think part of the criticism you've seen from critics of Mary Burke has been that this soft rollout of the campaign in the first week or so has had a lot of generalities and broad positive themes, but without the specificity, again, that activists would like to see, and especially on issues that matter hugely to them, as with Act 10 and whether it should be repealed or not. This is an issue that the party generally will have to confront as it goes into the campaign.
Yeah, we have Larry in Middleton with us now. Hi, Larry.
Hello, thank you. I think it's too soon to declare Mary Burke as the Democratic candidate. We don't know her views on some very major issues. She says she's in favor of jobs, but we're all in favor of jobs. The question is how she would create jobs. Her views on collective bargaining are not clear. Don't know how supportive she is of public education as opposed to voucher schools. Haven't heard anything from her about badger care, women's rights and choice, tax equity, being sure that corporations pay their fair share. And further, I think she may not be ready for the big time in terms of fielding tough questions from a press. Mm-hmm. Not sure she has the background to stand up to Walker in a debate. So those are some of my reservations. I just think it's too soon. Maybe yes to support her, maybe no, but we need to know more.
Yeah, reaction to that, Charles?
Yeah, I think all of these are good questions, and they're appropriate questions of any candidate who would be first just introducing themselves to the electorate right now. I think perhaps we should say that this kind of concern is typical in a pre-primary period, if you will. And we're going through exactly the process in which any candidate has to prove themselves to their primary voters, has to explain who they are and what the rationale is for their run. And so in some sense, I think we are exactly where a process 13 months out would be expected to be, with many people in the party, in any party for that matter, having questions about a relative newcomer that they don't know enough about to feel completely comfortable with. So in that sense, I think perhaps give this 6 more months and you're still 7 months away from the election. There's still plenty of time. So we have a period here in which the Democratic Party will have to sort itself out. The voters will sort themselves out. And then we'll have a general election in which people decide between Walker and whoever the Democratic nominee is.
By the way, Charles, you were correct. Kathleen Vinehout tallied 4% of the recall primary vote. The fact that she's run, though, now, in a primary anyway, statewide, is her name recognition any better now than it was then?
In that public policy polling poll from September, there was very little difference among the Democratic candidates. All of them had more than a 60% don't know, don't recognize rate. Again, that's not unsurprising for new candidates at this point.
You know, when Mary Burke announced that she was going to try to challenge Governor Walker, he seemed to jump into gear and got some headlines himself. Like, for example, this just happened yesterday. The state Senate voted for this $100 million property tax cut, which kind of seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was a brand new proposal that has been hurried through the process. I think it's still awaiting assembly action.
Mm-hmm.
The governor would certainly point to a new report that showed we ran a larger than expected surplus in the current fiscal year, and that supports a significant amount of that property tax cut, though it comes on top of more than $600 million in income tax relief that was passed as part of the budget. And for those who are budget hawks in the state that are concerned about the state budget, would point to the surpluses this time, but at the moment at least, projected deficits in the upcoming budget. Those deficit hawks are a little more concerned that we are spending today's surplus but deepening tomorrow's deficit. The governor's office would say those projections are too pessimistic, and indeed the budget will eventually be balanced. That, of course, is for the future to determine.
Jan in Appleton emails, why is it that Democrats seem to have so few choices when it comes to primaries? The party appears to want to coronate the person that they want to run, and everybody else seems to fall into line or be too afraid to provide some healthy competition. The party seems to have a lack of diversity of thought. But I'm also going to counter that with one last call from Tom in Whitewater. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What I would say on this issue is that Progressives United should either endorse her or at least encourage their members not to go and bloody her. Right now, there's a lot of Vinehealth supporters who are very angry, and they're taking to Facebook and Google and trying to sabotage Burke's campaign. And the other argument I would make is there is no ideal progressive candidate who can stand up to the Walker machine, either his communications operation or his campaign funding. He is doing historic amounts of damage to our state at a very rapid pace. And at this point, we just need to stop the bleeding. And Mary Burke is the only candidate we have who would even have a shot. Kathleen Vinehout would not be able to match up to the firepower.
Thank you, Tom. So that's the concern of some in the Democratic Party, is that this is going to hurt, I guess, either of the Democratic candidates, but especially Mary Burke.
Yeah, well, I think, again, we're seeing exactly the kind of conversation parties have when they face either a front runner, a prohibitive front runner, or when they face newcomers and they're not sure about them. There is a natural point for criticism to come from opponents or alternative candidates, and a concern about damaging the nominee as you go into the general election. So I think all of the comments we've heard this morning have reflected the different views on this, and I think actually collectively have done a great job of pointing out that this is early in the process, and it's going to take a while for the party to feel comfortable with a nominee, whoever that is.
Well, you know, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey will be coming out next week, and it will have some questions on the gubernatorial candidates, and the Marquette poll is coming out just shortly after that.
Yes, we announced yesterday it'll be out on October 29th.
We will probably talk to you again after that. All right, thanks very much for being here. Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster, and this is our fall membership drive. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. So your gift right now of any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 29 pledges in the next 5 minutes. So please get to your telephone and call 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
I hope that you enjoyed this big question conversation with political scientist Charles Franklin talking about the race for governor in Wisconsin. We do, by the way, have an online poll up as we do every Wednesday at this time. You can go to WPR.org/joy to vote in that big question poll. So we hope that you will take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving to WPR is easy. It takes just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month or so.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. So make your contribution at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day on your way to and from work or over the lunch hour, maybe as you go to bed at night, and then some more on the weekends.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your day. It's an important part of your life. Your day would probably be much different if you couldn't catch your favorite program. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on, day after day, month after month, year after year. So won't you give now to keep this service going strong at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we always have your interests at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we receive from members, including the 550 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members support Wisconsin Public Radio with a gift of $1,200 or more a year. And to make this leadership gift of $100 a month or a gift of any amount, join us at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, still looking for 28 pledges in the next couple of minutes, but we have many lines open and many people listening right now, so that can be done. Thank you so much if you haven't already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org and or call 888-202-2552.
That's a $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is just over 30 cents a day. You probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things that you value less than WPR.
So spend a little right now and you'll get a lot in return. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whether you go online or call, you'll be investing in a station that you use.
And you want to get your new Wisconsin Public Radio travel mug. A gift of $15 or more will earn you that. It says listener powered, which is really true of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's available at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Saul from Stevens Point. He says, WPR has saved my knees. Instead of running, I get my heart into its target zone by listening to Joyce Peppery guests. Thank you, Saul.
Good. I hate running,
very much.
Too. I'm just going to keep listening.
Well, you can keep us peppery with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help us get as close to this goal of 55 pledges as we can. Cynthia, thanks very much. Time for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 552.